Hi, today's August 29th, 2021, and this is Mobile Podcast 373. I'm Todd Agassa Ward, my good friend John Westfall. Should be another short one. I think last week we did like 30 minutes or so. Not a lot going on.
We're just, you know, after so many years, we're just running out of things to say. Yeah. It finally happened. Yeah. We've hit it all. I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of Apple announcements on the horizon that we don't know a lot about yet. You know, that is something I think we'll have a lot to talk about. But it's been the leaks. Even this year, the leaks have not been all that impressive to me. I don't really put much faith in them at this point. So,
same here. As we, you know, I saw the speculation about I think the iPad Mini 6 or whatever it was going to be called, but it's so sketchy. I didn't even put it in our show notes.
Yeah, so it's right now I don't feel comfortable enough talking about any of the leaks that, you know, even the one, the Apple Watch 7 being slightly larger, while that seems like a very obvious thing that could happen, I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. And we will be hopefully seeing it soon, because September is upon us in just a few days.
Right. And, well, as long as we're talking about, as long as we're speculating anyway, there's also speculation there'll be two announcements, right? One for the iPhone and presumably maybe the Apple Watch, and maybe a second one for other stuff, maybe the iPad Mini.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think that, I don't remember Apple having separate announcements for the Mini. I mean, ever. Let me try to think. Because it's not one of their more popular products, except with us.
Yeah, and it usually shows up on its own. So, yeah, not sure why we have not heard much more about the Mini, but we'll have to see. I'm hoping the Mini actually does get resurrected. I want me something too. That makes me tempted.
Yeah, well, I'm already tempted, and I have a 5, which is good, but holy moly, as Captain Marvel used to say, having that first generation round Apple Pencil roll off the desk is not fun. I'd really like something that supports Apple Pencil too. I'd even buy a second one, I think, just to carry around with me. Any rate, speaking of Apple, I have not had this problem. But apparently, Gizmodo reports that Apple announced a free repair program for some iPhone 12 models with what they're calling receiver issues, which means you can't hear the other person calling you. So far, knock on wood, no problems with my iPhone 12 Pro. I don't even know if anybody's told me about it.
Yeah, I've not really heard any problems with this either, so I'll be curious to see if we hear more of this now that it's been made available, now that people know that there's a problem and they can report it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I still, for some of my time, I still think it's me and not the device, even though it's clearly the device sometimes.
I did have one weird thing happen on my iPhone Pro 12 the other day. I got a phone call, which rarely happens. So I got all excited because I couldn't remember how to answer my phone. No. Anyway, it said rang on my iPhone 12 once and then it stopped ringing. But my watch kept ringing. Just one ring now. Ring or whatever my ringtone is. I don't even know what it is. And then it just stopped. It wouldn't let, you know, didn't show me, you know, swipe to answer or anything. It just went back to its normal screen. And but fortunately, I had my watch on, so I was able to answer the call on my watch. And it was a call I needed to take, so... in one of those rare actual non-spam phone calls. So that was kind of weird. But like I said, I don't get very many phone calls. So, you know, there's no...
You were excited and then it just dashed your hopes.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Yeah, wow, somebody's calling me, you know, like by voice. Not for a podcast. Anyway. So you bought something?
Well, I bought a few things that I've been playing with, and one of them is an Internet of Things by Morose, or I guess Moross, I don't know how you pronounce, M-E-R-O-S-S. Basically, they make low-cost smart devices, and they have a bunch of different things, but I found their Wi-Fi HomeKit-enabled light bulbs, LED light bulbs, that you can be any color you would like them to be. And they cost, for a two-pack, it's somewhere around $25 on Amazon, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And I have been interested in things like the Philips Hue system for a long time, and those were just too expensive for me. So this was, I'll try it out. And I did have, out of the, let's see, I've now bought four packs of them. I did have one defective bulb that they're sending me a replacement. It paired with HomeKit, and then it sort of disappeared and never paired again with anything. But otherwise, they have been working fairly well. It's interesting to me playing around with them, though, because Siri can do things with them that are way easier to have her do than code it yourself. So with the automations in the Home app, you know, you can set a scene and tell the scene to turn on the lights and set them to a certain color and set them to a certain brightness and all that. But it's actually much easier to say the name of your Apple assistant. I don't want to activate anyone's.
Sure.
But say that and then say, you know, turn the living room green. And all the lights in the living room turn to green, you know, in the blink of a lot. So it's really kind of funny, especially with colors that you're not specifically, you know, you're using the little color picker you're a little annoyed with. So, you know, turn the living room white, you know, soft yellow or soft white, and you'll get that appearance.
So
that's a nice ability, but it's a weird one that it's hard to do physically, easy to do with Siri.
Right. So, you know, I've had a, like a set of three Wi-Fi enabled bulbs sitting in its, you know, blister pack for a couple of years now. Where did you put yours? I mean, what makes sense for you to put these bulbs in?
So in our living room, we have basically no natural light. We have some natural light coming in from the little courtyard in our apartment complex, but it's we're on an interior facing living room. So we have four lamps or three lamps that have three reading lamps off of them, just stick lamps that you can buy at Walmart or wherever. I think that's where we got ours. And so I replaced all the bulbs in those with these lights. And they're very bright and they're very useful now to have complete control over. Before, I just had Wi-Fi outlets on them so I could turn them on and off easily.
Right.
But it was an either an all or a nothing thing. And we had just recently started saying, well, maybe we don't need the little lights on all the time. And so, yeah, that's where they are. And you're right. I have not found another good place for them. I have an extra one. I'll actually have an extra two. And I've thought about where else they could go. And I don't have any particularly good spot for those.
Yeah, my problem is most of my lighting is, you know, funky, more or less proprietary fluorescent, you know, tube bulbs, right? And so these Wi-Fi bulbs are all for incandescent fixtures, at least the ones I've seen. And so the most of the incandescent fixtures in my home are ceiling type lights, all of which are associated with a wall switch. And I know, you know, my daughter comes infrequently enough that she'll never remember if I tell her, you know, don't ever hit the wall switch. Just use your iPhone to turn on a light. my wife just won't remember because. So I know they're like, oh, I told you guys not to, you know, and or why do you have this blue tape across all of our switches? All right, that's pretty annoying. So I never placed them anywhere. I guess I probably do have a floor lamp that maybe still has incandescent bulbs. I should go look at that. I like that idea.
Well, and so a few other things. They make they have one that's just a ambient light, and I was able to pick up an open box version of it that it was a little beaten up, but it was only $10. So I thought, well, this is good to play with. And I wanted to use it on my desk as a sort of status light, you know, have it do things based on what's going on.
Right.
And HomeKit, while HomeKit will let you do some predefined triggers, they're a little bit lacking. And so if you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the software IO Broker.
Yes.
IO Broker lets you connect a lot of Internet of Things together. And one of them, they have a plugin for Meras or Morose, and they have a plugin for other things. So they have a nice little script editor too that you can do. So now I have started playing with these little scripts that, you know, when different things around the house happen, like the cameras switch into night mode versus day mode or something like that, it'll blink red to let me know, and then it'll blink off. So you can get very creative with these sorts of things and have the best of both worlds. You can have something that is Apple HomeKit, so it works everything with your Apple devices and all that, and use something like IO Broker running in either a Docker container or on a Raspberry Pi or however you want to run it to fill in some of the gaps and some of the missing pieces, so to speak.
Okay. I put in the pronunciation guide for the word, but I don't know how to read pronunciation guides, so I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, that's going to be a problem for us. But yeah, it's an interesting. They make a lot of interesting IoT things and fairly low cost IoT things. The smart little light that I have, even new, even if it's not an inbox little dinged up thing, it's only $24.99. So that's not a bad deal at all when you think about something that you're going to use as a programmable smart light or status light.
When you say, by the way, when you say ambient light, what do you mean by that? Is it like a little 5-watt LCD or is it?
Yeah, it's basically a little dome. Mm-hmm. I'll put a link to it in our show notes so that you can see what I'm talking about. But it basically looks like a little nightstand dome light, and it can be any color you want it to be. And it's bright enough. It's not extremely bright, but it's also, can be any color, which is the useful thing.
Right. Oh, they have air purifier and plugs and garage door. They have all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Humidifier? I've never heard of a smart humidifier. That's sort of something we don't need in Hawaii, by the way. But
yeah, you got. I know it's important. We have plenty of humidity.
Oh boy! Oh, very cool. I did not know about this site, and there's a whole section how to connect it to your Google Assistant and Google Home. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, in other smart news, or sad smart news, wanted to extend a low-tech solution to a problem that maybe would plague other people if they, and you know, sometimes the simplest is best. A few weeks ago when I was away, my internet had blinked out the morning before I left, and I thought, well, when it comes back on, we actually had an issue where some extremely intelligent people about 30 miles north of us cut off 300 feet of cabling that they thought was copper. But it turned out to be fiber optic, so didn't really help them at all in their quest for riches, and also knocked out internet to thousands of people.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought, well, when they get this restored, this has happened before. It happens about every 6 months to a year in my area. But I thought, well, when it comes back on, my router, my cable modem will detect it. It'll bring it back up, and my router is set to reboot every night. So even if it doesn't particularly, it's set in the software to reboot every night.
Right.
So I thought, well, surely this will come up. Yeah. And then away for 4 days, and all 4 days I could not connect to my home network.
Oh,
nothing
boy.
Was coming up.
Yeah.
So I get home and I think, well, this could be bad, because if it didn't come back up, it's not just something simple. Turns out it was something simple. I rebooted the router by turning it off and turning it back on. Everything was fine. And the cable modem was fine by itself. It didn't even need a reboot.
Yeah.
So this got me thinking about how sometimes power cycling your network devices, especially consumer network devices, really helps get things cleared out and all that. And so I bought a set of digital outlet timers and put them in line with the plug on my devices. Every morning after my backup window ends and before I get up, for about 5 minutes, my networking equipment turns itself off and then turns itself back on. So that if I am traveling and there's no one here to reboot it and there's no way to have it reboot by software, I will at least know that once every 24 hours, it's going to blink itself on and off. And that gives me a little bit more peace of mind. And it's, pretty easy to run. It's $16 for two of these little digital outlet timers.
That's pretty reasonable. Yeah, I use something called a TP-Link Casa brand. I think you've heard of TP-Link for sure. And Casa is their IoT stuff. But I use it the way you formerly used your Wi-Fi switch for your lights. So I just use it to turn my lights on and off. And I do have it on timers and things, so I don't have to remember to turn certain lights in the house on and off. They just go on and off at certain times. But yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I found that in cable modem routers from the cable company, I still rent mine, by the way. I know it's crazy. Cable modem router and even my Wi-Fi access point / routers need to be rebooted every now and then. Sometimes I'll just see things get slower and slower and slower. And it turns out that the, you know, internet access is fine. It's just that the router needs to be, the actual cable modem needs to be rebooted. And then it pops right back up. It's really weird. But good point. And I take it it's not something you train your cat. I mean.
No, the cats, and we don't let them in the room with the cable modem when we're not here. So, okay. You know, they're not allowed to be doing network operations, at least at this point.
Because I remember an old friend of mine, when he was a grad student, he was training bees. And so the bees would come in through a little door that they had cut into the building wall. And it was a little door, by the way. It wasn't just a hole. So there was a little a light switch, and it would detect the bees, and the bees would come in and do their little training sessions with him and dance for sugar water. And anyway, I was just thinking, you know, the cat's a lot smarter than a bee. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, food for thought. Food for thought. Okay, next. Yep. Next topic. You know, it's funny, even though I'm interested in Windows 11, and our buddy Sven apparently is running the Windows Insider beta, and his comment was, it's just a new UI, you know, it's a different menu system. And as you know, I think last week I was telling you, I gave my Windows 10 notebook to my daughter for her schoolwork, since it, the Java app they're using doesn't run on a Mac for some reason, or doesn't run correctly. And and so I thought, well, maybe I'll buy another Windows notebook. And then I thought again, I said, I'll wait for Windows 11. And recently I've been reading that Microsoft is allowing incompatible or less compatible hardware devices to actually run Windows 11, but you'll not be able to get security updates and all of that. So, well, fool you on that. And I thought, do I have a fear of missing out, FOMO? And I thought, slightly maybe, and I'm curious, but after Sven's comment, not as curious. And, you know, usually I'm trying to chomp in at the bit to see the next version of Windows or whatever. And this time it's, especially since nothing I currently own. I have a couple of desktops too. They won't run it either when I run the test on it. You know, at least a Windows Insider compatibility test. And it says, nope, you can't run it on here. Or at least before they allowed people to run it on incompatible stuff. So I don't know. I think this is kind of brilliant marketing on, you know, Microsoft's part. They want people to not run Windows anymore. So it's making it incompatible with almost everything most people own. And I don't know. Maybe they're going to run Linux or something, or just go all web. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit. I don't think Windows 11 has enough going for it to compel me to upgrade anytime soon. I think some of the things are just gimmicky, in a sense, because I don't think people really want them, and I don't know how much people would actually use them. Things like running mobile apps and those sorts of things. So I'm kind of standing by on it. I have not ruled out buying another Windows machine. In fact, I probably right now, if I was thinking about buying one, I would wait until Windows 11 to be able to get something that had the most up-to-date. But honestly, when I need Windows, running it in a virtual machine works way better for my needs, and I can just run whatever. If I need that particular version of Office, or I need a particular extra piece of something or another that's on a Windows app, an old thing that I haven't used in forever, I'll just run that and I'll wait, because Windows 11, there's no real compelling reason for me right now with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And after decades, I mean, literally decades of playing with Windows betas and, you know, rushing out to get the latest version, and all, back when we had to rush outside, you know, into the real world to go get stuff, it's weird not really wanting to do it anymore. It's like, I'm happy with, you know, Chrome OS and Mac OS and just stuff on the web. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. But speaking of buying laptops, you know, there's been a weird thing happening the last couple of years, and I can't quite put my finger on it. And it's all non-Apple. So, you know, the great thing about Apple is, since we're talking about upcoming announcements or expected upcoming announcements, when they announce something, you're pretty reasonably sure it'll be out, with the exception of that fancy-dancy charger that Apple announced a few years ago, with the exception of that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Right? You know, they announce an iPhone, iPad, MacBook, whatever, and it'll be available in 2 months. 2 months later, boom, there it is. Go order one. Be happy. You know, spend money. But other people, other manufacturers, man, they've been like a couple of years ago. You might remember when I was in my Chromebook craze. Oh, John is going up mm-hmm. and down, and the cat has appeared.
Yeah, I'm showing you that the cat is sitting on my lap as I podcast.
Hello, cat. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I really wanted to pick up the low-cost Lenovo Chromebook Flex that you might recall. It's a detachable Chromebook. It was like $250, mm-hmm. and, you know, it wasn't super fast, but for $250, you don't expect super fast. And I could never find one. Well, you know, that's not true. I think that it was available for order on like Best Buy or something, and I just didn't want to do it. And by the time it became readily available, like over a year later, it's like, meh, it's over a year old. I'll wait for the next model to come out. Okay, mm-hmm. So then was it earlier this year? I guess earlier, around the time of, I was going to say network in or out, but that's not right. CES, January. Asus announced a new model of their ZenBook Duo, the notebook with two screens on it, one on the top and one right above the keyboard. And they announced a low-end model, low-priced model, about $1,000, which is low price for them. You know, the other ZenBook yeah. Duos are like $2,000, and I didn't want to spend that much. And so I kept looking and looking and looking, and it's never appeared. I've never been able to find it, not even at Asus site. They may have given up on it. And now there is something called the HP Chromebook X2 11. 11 is for an 11, it means it has an 11-inch display. And it too is a detachable Chromebook, and apparently it's available for pre-order. But I'm now having my doubts about whether it'll ever be readily available. In other words, I can just go to Amazon or, you know, I don't know if I want to go into a physical store anymore. But, you know, if it's at Costco, if I see it at Costco, I'll buy it. Or if I see it at Sam's Club, I'll buy it. But I don't go into computer stores. And I'm really having doubts about whether or not this will ever appear, because, you know, everything else is like not appeared within a year or so.
It's vaporware hardware is very frustrating. We've gotten so much better. It used to be, I think, more common, and we were used to, well, maybe that'll never come out. Yeah. But I think Apple and Google have kind of spoiled us with the idea yes. that every year a new blank will come out.
Right.
Come hell or high water, it'll happen. But other manufacturers, not so good. But you're right, the ones that you're mentioning, Asus and a few others, I've been Acer even, I've looked at and thought, oh, I want to get one of those, and it just never shows up. And by yep. the time it shows up, it's out of date, and
yeah.
I'd rather Why have do something I want it? Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a 2-year-old processor, because, you know, they got to design it for whatever processor they have it, and then they release it, and you know, and so a year after the release, when you release it, it's already a year-old processor. When it becomes available, it's a 2-year processor. By the way, I should note, the reason why I'm interested in the Chromebook from HP, the X2 11, is because, A, it's detachable, like the Lenovo was. But, B, and this is the weird thing, it's going to ship with something that shouldn't be shippable. It's going to ship with a PWA, Progressive Web App, from Google called Cursive. And Cursive is yet another note-taking app. But you know me, right? I'm kind of addicted to it. It's like people with addiction for office supplies, right? You see an office supply floor. What pens do they have, you know, or whatever. And so it's like, yeah, I'm kind of addicted to note-taking apps. I would like to see this. And you think, well, it's a PWA, Todd. Just go download it. Not download it. Don't, you know. Just access it.
Just go access it.
Yeah. But you can't. Apparently, it's only available with this X2 11, and I don't get it. And so that's the other reason I'm really curious about it. Maybe Google's going to buy HP hardware.
They're doing it just to spite you at this point.
Yeah.
It's literally, they are one of our fives of listeners, and they have decided, because the next thing you know, there'll be a Spotwatch revival that you have to buy some other thing for. And you'll be buying a $7,000 subwoofer to get the spot watch that only comes with it or something like that. They have found the key to your heart.
Good old spot watch. You know, speaking of spot watches, the Fitbit Charge 5 apparently was announced. I have a Charge 4, which I'm very happy with. But I got to go look. I think my Apple Watch already does the stuff that 5 added to the Fitbit line, so it's probably not something I really need. That said, I just want to note, you know, taking a page from your inspiring story, I have started walking again, and not a lot, you know, but I try to do 5 miles a day, which is what I used to do pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Such a, but, you know, now that I'm mostly home, I've been trying to go out, and, you know, our weather here in Hawaii is pretty much nice year-round, so it's not an issue. And the other day, Friday, to be honest, so every day after work, I've been going out, and Fitbit actually complimented me. My Fitbit app says, hey, you're on a 5-day streak, you know, of walking more than 10,000 steps a day. So I said, wow, it noticed.
commented. Fitbit is very considerate that way. Years ago when I was using a Fitbit, I had it hooked up to my FitnessPal to read data back and forth. And I still use my FitnessPal, but I don't use the Fitbit anymore.
Yeah.
So there's still some back-end syncing going on between my FitnessPal and Fitbit because I never logged in to disable it. Right. So when I hit certain weight milestones, Fitbit will send me a message congratulating me on losing a certain amount of weight.
No kidding.
And the only way it knows it is through my FitnessPal getting the updated weigh-ins. So it really is a bunch of connected devices talking about me behind my back, and one of them deciding to compliment me on hard work. Because I'm not even entering my weight in my FitnessPal. It's getting that out of Apple Health, and I'm not entering it in Apple Health. I'm entering it in my smart scale. So it's literally the scale telling Apple Health, who is telling my FitnessPal, and my FitnessPal's blabbing it over to Fitbit, and Fitbit's going, hey, I heard that you're doing really good and sending me messages. I mean, it's nice, but it's literally a bunch of computers talking to each other about my weight loss.
You have a virtual healthcare team. They're all chatting to each other, sharing information.
I wish they'd do more to, you know, other healthcare issues. But yeah, that's what they do.
Wow. Wow. And for those who don't remember what I'm talking about when I said John's inspiring story, since, you know, John's a big guy, and but he's like half the man he used to be, literally.
Yeah.
It's truly inspiring.
I've gone from, just by numbers, 417 pounds down to about 200.
Yeah.
So I'm half the man I used to be.
Quite literally. All right, folks. It was a short one like we predicted, but not too short. As usual, John and I find ways to fill up time and amuse each other. So we will try to talk to you next time, and we'll try to get some of our friends back on. We've been using Teams, and some people have had problems with Teams, so we may have to try something else. I don't know. For those folks. But for folks who can get on Teams, I'm really kind of liking Teams as our podcasting telecommunications platform. It's for those of us who can get on, I like the sound quality. It's actually a little better than Skype from what I can tell. Alrighty. Movies Podcast 373, our palindromic podcast, is in the can.